Tom and Harrison are back. What's going on, everybody? My name is Gary Notelovitz. This is League Pass and Chill. We're here for another episode, and this episode is a bit of a throwback because we're welcoming back two of our team that have been gone for so long that some of the new listeners might not even know who they are. So we're going to reintroduce them. I think that's the way to do this. So to my left is Tom Handley.
Hello.
He's been gone for 2 months.
2 months, yeah. So gone so long that they actually thought I'd quit. Like HR had shut down all my accounts and thought I had left the building.
Sure. Yeah. I also thought you quit a little bit. And Harrison Pullinger.
I'm back as well.
You were not gone for 2 months.
No, I was gone for about 6 weeks.
Well, that's six.
So these two actually traveled together. Mm-hmm. How was that?
It was fun.
It was fun.
It was fun.
We've been friends for a long time, so... Yeah,
so we understand each other pretty well.
We know each other's terrible habits.
Yeah, yeah.
So we're without Ogun Ulic, who's still over in the US of A doing things.
I think he's in Boston. Or was it
Philly
today?
No, he's in Philly.
Yeah, he was just at the Celtics game today.
Yep, and he's going to be at All-Star Weekend before he comes back here. And no Ted Smith. No Ted Smith.
The vocal stylings of Ted.
Exactly, but you have to go real low just to kind of...
Please don't click away because it's still going to be a fun episode. So we're going to talk a bit of the trade deadline. We won't go too deep into it because obviously time has passed. And if you don't know every deal, go on the internet.
Yeah,
it's try our job to fill you in.
Try hard. It is exactly our
job. And we'll do a bit of a look ahead to All-Star Weekend as well because that's not far away. But looking at the trade deadline, one of the biggest narratives was what happened at the top of the East. So you had the Sixers, the Bucks, and the Raptors all adding a little bit of ammunition. Celtics, not so much. But what it has done is kind of changed up the East picture a little bit. So who we thought were going to be top come the end of the season and come playoffs, maybe there's a bit of a change up among some people. So first up, looking at the Sixers, they added Tobias Harris, Boban, Mike Scott, Jonathan Simmons, and James Ennis. Are they better?
Oh, entirely
they
better.
They are
for sure.
A whole lot better. And they got rid of Markel.
Yeah.
So they got rid of one very important distraction.
Juicy deal as well.
Yeah, not bad.
To your Orlando Magic.
Yeah, I'm not going to get too negative about it because he's still young. We don't know what he's going to become, but the Magic are irrelevant and they're just going to flounder at the bottom of the East for the next 10 years.
Hey, they won by 30 today.
But the Sixers.
Yeah, the Sixers.
The thing that I loved about this trade, which I didn't even comprehend until we actually watched them all hit the court together, was the size that they brought in. Tobias Harris is a big man playing at four. He can play three. Whatever position he plays, he's big. And then you've added Boban as well, plus Jonathan Simmons.
Wait, is Boban big?
Boban is huge. Boban is large.
Wait a second. You have to clear this
Boban is the largest. And the thing which really opens up when you look at the new Sixers now is how much space JJ Redick has to run off screen.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
That was a beautiful thing to watch in that first game that they played together. Where like Tobias Harris would he would come in and slip the screen, and then JJ was just running around the entire court, just jacking up shots. And I was like, this is beautiful to watch.
Yeah.
A JJ man for as long as you could be a JJ man.
Before today, before the Celtics game, they played the Nuggets, they played the Lakers, and they looked pretty awesome. They looked pretty flawless. This was the first kind of obstacle. It's hard against a Boston Celtics team that's really well coached, and obviously a bunch of the Celtics are still figuring each other out. They're still trying to figure out how their offense is going to work, how their defense is going to work, and they did fall short against Boston, which is an all-too-familiar narrative for the Philadelphia 76ers.
That it is.
But I do think, on the whole, they've added some really important pieces. I would have liked to see them get another shooter. The likes of Wesley Matthews and Wayne Ellington were bought out and then ended up on other teams. But yeah, I mean, they do seriously improve. And I also just like the little side note that Tobias Harris and Boban just seem to be like...
constantly following each other.
Yeah, it's like they went from Detroit to Clippers to Philly. They're always together.
I always picture them like any city they go to when they're like trying to explore the new city. They get a tandem bike and they're just riding through the streets of like Detroit at first. And now they're through Philadelphia and it's like, let me tell you about my best friend. Boban's got the stupidest smile on his face, and he's just walking because he can't pedal.
Right, I was going to say, I don't think there's like a single bicycle hire place that would have anything for that giant
would
human.
Be hilarious to see.
And then you got the Bucks, who are still just doing ridiculous things. Like, they don't lose ever anymore, it seems. Giannis is still doing silly things. And now they've added another shooter, Nikola Mirotic.
Another tall shooter, like a lengthy shooter.
Yeah, another more length and more shooting. Yeah. We haven't seen him play, but like, how is he not?
Why has he
fit?
Not played yet? I haven't followed that.
I don't know, to be honest.
Is he still, like, has he got a nagging injury, or is he just not quite?
Yeah, he might not be 100% healthy, but they also don't need to rush him because they're just such a free flowing team at the moment. Like, they're pretty fun. Mm. Yeah, he tweeted out the little like puzzle emoji before the trade happened, and that's kind of fitting because he is like, he's one of the final puzzle pieces to this Milwaukee team that look just so good during the regular season. Obviously, we don't know how that's going to translate into the postseason, but right now it'd be hard to bet against them. And then you go to Toronto because no one was willing to just stay put. They then traded for Marc Gasol, who is, in my opinion, a massive upgrade on Jonas Valanciunas.
Yeah.
I know they're two like white European bigs, but like one is a whole lot more skilled than the other and has been underutilized in Memphis, and that's Marc Gasol. And you saw that in his first game. He looked great, whether it was his passing or his shooting. He really improves his Toronto team.
Oh, yeah. It was my thinking that they were going to move Valanciunas for most of the year, but I thought they were going to do it in the way of trying to lead Kevin Love out of Cleveland, so they get that tall big who can stretch the floor and also grab rebounds. But then I didn't even think that Marc Gasol was on the table until obviously the words came out. But he adds a whole other dimension because he's got that defensive presence down the back. And he'd be one of the smartest defensive players in the league.
For
he might not be the quickest, but like, he's a former defensive player of the year. He's slowed down a little bit. But with that length of the Toronto team in front of him, like, my God.
I think this was a move to counteract the Sixers. To be honest, I think this was we need to find someone who's going to be our Joel Embiid stopper.
Like the Al Horford of,
The Al Horford, just the big body in the middle, because Serge Ibaka, like, you see that Raptors lineup with Serge Ibaka and they're flexible. They can spread the floor. They look great. Pascal Siakam is one of the longest men I've ever seen in my life. We had the pleasure of watching him in
ridiculous.
Dallas, and his wingspan is incredible. But they were missing that big body because Serge Ibaka can't body up with Joel Embiid. And when you look at the Bucks, they've got Lopez and Giannis as well. You can swap onto him if need be. They're both big bodies. They can both clog with that extra length. You bring in Marc Gasol. To me, they won the trade deadline out of the East.
Yeah, make no mistake. Like, Marc Gasol might not be putting up the kind of numbers that makes you think, wow, this guy's like a top five, top 10 big in the league. But he is. Like, talent-wise, a motivated Marc Gasol is like as good as you're going to get as a big in the NBA. In Memphis, he hasn't had a whole lot of reason to play to his full potential because they haven't been trying to win and they haven't had the team to win. And that's hard to motivate an experienced vet like him to kind of keep going out there 82 games a season. I think with Toronto, this final push into the playoffs and then come playoffs time, you're going to see a different level of Marc Gasol. And then in the buyout market, guess who finally got his wish?
Yeah. Boop, boop, boop,
boop. It was me, guys. I finally got my wish because Jeremy Lin is on a good basketball team to be a backup point guard.
Finally.
A backup guard, let's say, because he might play at the two. But Jeremy Lin is now a Toronto Raptor. And that is so exciting.
I think any general manager in the world would take the trade or take the trade deadline where you get Gasol and Lin for Valanciunas, DeLon Wright, and CJ Miles in a second round pick.
It's not bad, like, is it?
That's unbelievable.
It's so good. Yeah. I'm so happy for Jeremy Lin. Yeah. Jeremy, if you're listening, kill it.
Yeah. Congratulations, buddy.
I'm pulling for you,
you
bud.
You do you, baby.
And then obviously, like, the kind of odd one out. I'm not going to talk about Pacers because Oladipo out. I'm effectively cutting them out of this discussion in terms of Eastern Conference teams that can do anything. They're not part of this anymore. The Celtics, though, they didn't add anything. They didn't lose anything, really. Kyrie Irving is still being a bit of a weirdo there. Are we happy with where they're at as a roster, as a team?
Well, I think they didn't need to add any more roster points because they've got it all sitting there, but they just have they're yet to make it work.
Yeah,
like that team made the Eastern Conference last year without Gordon Hayward and without Kyrie Irving. And then it was essentially like they got these two new pieces without any cost whatsoever. And they just yet to really find that flow, find that form. They've found it in bits and pieces throughout the season, but they're yet to really kick it into gear. And then when it all starts working, like Gordon, you saw it today with Gordon Hayward. I think he had, what was it, 28?
On like somewhere around there.
7 of 8 shooting from three, yeah. I think it was. Yeah, and he's like, you see them, he starts to produce like that off the bench, and Kyrie comes in with 25 to 30 points a game and 7 to 10 assists. They're one of the best teams in the East, if not the best team in the East.
And an underrated thing that happened for the Celtics is that the Lakers didn't get Anthony Davis. So the Celtics still have the best package to offer the Pelicans in the offseason. So maybe by not doing anything, just the fact that that Anthony Davis didn't go anywhere else, they could still add that extra piece if Danny Ainge pulls the plug. I thought it was interesting when Jason Tatum came out and said,
yeah, it's exactly, I was going to say, like, at what cost, you know, well, getting rid of Jason Tatum.
He said that he'd welcome a trade to New Orleans because he would give him an opportunity to be the number one player.
But yeah, but you're also in New Orleans, you know? I understand his point about it, but like, you know, I can see it, but like, as if you want to leave one of the best teams in the East to go play in New Orleans.
Yeah. I mean, we're almost at the All-Star break and the discussion around the Celtics is still... Sorry.
Oh,
I've been sick. Sorry, people. It's still, they've probably got the best roster in the East, but they still need to figure out how it's going to work.
Yeah.
We're a long way into the season for that to still be the discussion.
I got a lot of faith in Brad Stevens that I feel like come playoff time. Like, it's like the Greg Popovich thing every year. Like, the Celtics, the Spurs kind of limp their way into the playoffs and then they just click into gear and it's like a completely different team almost when they hit the playoffs. So I got a lot of faith in that.
On a team that Harrison mentioned in terms of why the Celtics should be happy, the Lakers weren't able to land Anthony Davis. So the Lakers right now
suck.
Are sitting at 28 and 29. This is the latest LeBron has been under 500 since his rookie season, so since he was in Cleveland.
Since 2004, was it?
2004, yeah. The Lakers suck. Before the trade deadline, they were able to land Reggie Bullock. Esteemed shooter. No, he's a fine shooter, but it doesn't really change too much. And then trade away a promising young big in Zubac for Mike Muscala.
Yeah, who would already been traded.
Yeah, are they going to make a difference for this Lakers team?
Not at all. I think they're just going to clog an already clogged bench. Like, I don't get it. I don't get it whatsoever.
I feel like these are the right moves if they had have addressed what LeBron needs in a team earlier. Yep. If they had have built around him, getting him shooters around the perimeter, they've added two really nice shooters. Like, these are good pieces. It's just they're going to the Lakers team where they're expected to do more than they bring.
Yeah, I suppose, like, you could look at this, like, Muscala's your Channing Frye, Bullock, your Iman Shumpert, like, serviceable shooters that can just sit around LeBron and just heat open shots.
Here's a question that might be hard to answer, but let's say, where would you say the Lakers would be in a better or worse position if LeBron and AD and this whole drama never happened and it didn't become abundantly clear to everyone on this Lakers roster that they were expendable, whether it be Lonzo, Kuzma, Ingram? They all now know that they're not really part of this Lakers future, right? Versus, like, what has happened now? Like, they've landed Bullock and Muscala, but now every single player on the team is upset and they know.
Yeah, sitting there like we could have been traded. But
versus them not making any moves. Yeah. Let's say Bullock and Muscala never came in. They stuck with the exact same roster.
They should have done nothing, I think. This is almost just like, oh, we have to do something, so we'll get these two guys. Like, it's almost like they're just clutching at straws and like they just had to make a deal for the sake of it.
But they're sitting under 500. They had to do something.
Yeah.
Like, they can't just flounder around being like, oh, no, let's keep this young core, which... Okay, they might be now upset that they're not part of the future, but they're not good enough to be part of a future where you're building around LeBron's last years, I would say. Hopefully he won't go to another team, but you're building around his last couple of years to get a championship, and those young core are not going to do it.
Yeah, but why go for these guys, you know? Like, why are these guys? Like you were saying before, there were plenty of other people in the buyout market, like a Wesley Matthews or a Wayne Ellington. Like, why Reggie Bullock and Mike Muscala?
Yeah, look, it's hard to know. And also,
maybe, I don't want to say it. I don't want to say it. I'm not going to say Carmelo Anthony.
God.
Yeah. But he is there. And he is free.
I don't know how much he helps. But yeah, I mean, like, they lost to the Atlanta Hawks today with LeBron back. Like, he's back from his injury.
And he had a great game as well. A huge game.
The assumption was that once he was back from his injury, they were going to get back to winning ways. That has not happened. As you said, though, like, Harrison, is that, like, they had a bunch of issues that they should have addressed far earlier.
Yeah.
Like, their off-season acquisitions, everyone was confused, and we were like, oh, maybe LeBron will figure it out.
Mm.
No.
Yeah.
They weren't good enough to figure it out.
I remember having this conversation. I might have been with you, Tom.
Yeah.
And Tom was saying that he thinks that this LeBron at LA is going to – he's turned into the mentor. He's turned a corner. He's not in a win-now mode. He is.
Well, I think he was in that kind of mood at the start, and then he realized that this isn't working. He's like, nah, screw this. I'm going back to, like, I need to win.
Like,
I like winning.
Surrounding LeBron since 2004, it's LeBron and shooters.
Yeah.
And that's how you get the most out of LeBron James. Mm. Putting him with Brandon Ingram, Lonzo Ball, that didn't make sense.
Well, that's the other thing, right? So LeBron's 33.
Yeah.
Where is he turned 34? Is he still 33? Anyway, he's in his 15th year, and he's effectively just gone, this year doesn't really matter.
Mm.
That's weird, right?
Yeah. Yeah. But it doesn't seem right, and I can only imagine how much this is burning him inside to be sitting outside the playoffs.
Because he could have said to the Lakers, like, build a team that I'm willing to come and play for, and they would have done that, and he could have come this, like, upcoming offseason. He decided to go in with the team as it was currently constructed. And now he's unhappy because it's not good enough. Like, we could have told you it wasn't good enough.
Yeah.
But, obviously we don't know, but he could have come into that team being like, we have pieces to trade.
Maybe.
So stars will come. I'm in LA. You're going to sign free agents far easier than you will in Cleveland.
Yeah, that's the kind of the way how, like, the Celtics are hoping to keep Kyrie around.
Yeah.
Yeah, like, we got these pieces to trade. We can make a better team. Just hold out, buddy, you know?
On the man that they couldn't get, Anthony Davis. So he's now got the most awkward second half to a season coming up NBA history, because what the NBA are doing is kind of strange. They're saying to the Pelicans, you don't want to play him, but every time you don't play him, we're going to fine you $100,000.
That shouldn't be up to them. It should be purely on the team and the player. If he doesn't want to play for the organization, if there's no faith in the organization, like, he should just not have to play.
It's kind of a bizarre situation because it seems like double standards. Like, Carmelo Anthony hasn't played for the Rockets. He was on the roster for so long and not playing. Just because, what, that no one wants to watch New Orleans without Davis? That's a problem.
That's the thing, yeah.
The league don't want, like, their numbers to go down. They don't want a superstar to be sitting for the, like, second half of the season. But then, like, what do the Pelicans get back for having to play a star who doesn't want to be there?
Yeah, they get a higher chance at a worse draft pick. They get a higher chance at an injured Davis, which means they can't pull anything back.
Yeah.
This made no sense to me, finding them $100,000 per game, because you're giving up, okay, the next 20 New Orleans games will be crap.
Mm.
That's fine. But that means they are probably going to lose, which means they got a higher chance at getting a better draft pick. You got a healthy Anthony Davis, which you can trade, which means you have a higher chance of bringing in a Jason Tatum. If they don't do that, and let's say he plays to game 78 and gets injured, they now have won, I don't know, 10 of the last 20 games, and now they have nothing to get in the draft and they have nothing to trade for. So you're risking 7 or 8 years of New Orleans being crap.
Yeah,
as real narrow-minded view from the NBA.
Probably quite likely that he will get injured at some point across the next few months.
Yeah, he's not exactly the healthiest.
Yeah.
Well, he was grabbing his knee today. He scored 9 points today with Aaron.
No, didn't he only have 3 points?
Oh, 3 points off 9 shots.
Yeah, he hasn't played more than 75 games in a season yet, and that was twice.
Yeah, and that was with, like, Aaron Gordon marking him. Anthony Davis should be tearing apart Aaron Gordon.
Yeah, 3 points and 6 boards in 24 minutes.
It's bad.
Like, that's not Anthony Davis numbers.
Yeah. No.
So, that was somewhat of a recap of the trade deadline.
Boom, boom.
Obviously, not every deal, but again, it's too late to go through every deal. And tough luck if you wanted to hear that.
Mm.
You should have
I don't know.
Oh, can I add one interesting anecdote that we witnessed while we were away?
Sure.
That kind of pertains to the trade deadline. I was talking to Ted about it the other day, and like Harris and I were talking about it as well, and it's super interesting to see. There's been a lot of articles about like what happens to players like before and after they get traded and things like that, and the personality of players. We saw the Mavericks play Toronto, I think it was a week before the deadline, and we were sitting there watching DeAndre Jordan like stroll up down the court, like just passively playing basketball, like he did not care about the game whatsoever. We're sitting there like constantly asking ourselves, like, why isn't he going for rebounds? He had like 3 rebounds in the first half and he just looked like he didn't want to be there. And then a week later, he'd been traded to the Knicks and we're in Madison Square Garden and saw them play the Grizzlies. And you could see it in warm up, like he was like tossing up alley-oops off the backboard and things like that. And then he got into the game and I think he finished with like 12 or 13 rebounds at the end. And he just looked like a more energized person. And it's interesting to see what it feels like for a player to actually be wanted. And actually see the difference between a team that doesn't want them, a city they don't want to be in, and then you see a player where it's actually he's excited to play basketball again.
Yeah.
And he turns into a completely different player.
Yeah, I know how well I rebound when I'm on a team that appreciates my rebounding.
Exactly
I crash.
Oh, man.
I crash
it's
the board.
It's an impressive thing to see. Yeah.
Yeah, you should
You look at it from the side and you're like, is that Dennis Rodman? Yeah, he's just like so much shorter.
No, but yeah, like that is it is interesting. And that's why I think like guys like Marc Gasol are going to be so different in a place.
Yeah,
like
it's a change of scenery.
Because I feel like Gasol has been waiting for this for now like a season and a half, I reckon. Yeah. He's been waiting for a move away.
Well, most of these guys have like Tobias Harris has been on a good like winning team in a long time. Like Mirotić has been struggling with teams for so long. Jonathan Simmons had a great team and then signed with the Magic. Harrison. But then now Marc Gasol has his new lease on life with Toronto. Like also, it's good to see that these people are getting a new lease on life kind of thing.
Shout out to Memphis's new deadly duo, Avery Bradley and Jonas Valanciunas, combining for 56 points today.
Bang.
Dangerous.
In a defeat.
Watch out, Western Conference. The Grizzlies are coming.
Right. So now, let's talk about All-Star Weekend, right? Because that's pretty exciting.
I'm surprisingly excited for this year's All-Star Weekend, actually.
Why? Because you're such a negative Nancy.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. But I don't usually get excited for the All-Star game, and now I kind of am.
All right. So I reckon what we do is we go through our little, like, who's competing in the dunk, in the three-point, in the skills, in the All-Star game, and we make some little predictions and some little guesses as to what's going to happen, you know?
Yep.
Alrighty.
So first up, let's look at the dunk contest. We got Dennis Smith Jr., Miles Bridges, Hamidou Diallo, and John Collins.
We were saying before, I do actually know who that is. I Googled him the other day for some reason because I thought he was the Diallo that played for the Thunder. Are they related?
What?
There's a Diallo that plays for the Thunder. He got injured this year.
Is that not who that is?
No, because he plays for that one plays for Charlotte. Wasn't he in the D League this year?
Wait, what?
I think there's a Czech Diallo.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure there's one that plays for the...
Hamidou Diallo plays for the Thunder.
There's one that plays for the Hornets then as well. There's another Diallo in the league.
There's a Czech Diallo.
Yeah, there's another one. That's the one I Googled then. So now just as confused as I was the other day. We're just full circle.
See, I wasn't confused, then I was confused. Now I'm not because that is the human I believe it to be.
I just shared my confusion with the group and now with the rest of the world as well.
So who's going to win?
Dennis Smith Jr., I think... is going to do it.
Why?
He's just an incredible athlete. Yeah. Just watching him in person.
It's the NBA, like, man. Oh, they're all incredible athletes.
This is very true. Yeah. But I think I always like to think that the guys, like the little guys, are, like it always looks way more impressive when they do something.
Sure.
Because they have to get... It's like when Nate Robinson won the dunk contest. Sorry. Let me start again. It's why Nate Robinson won the dunk contest and Spud Webb won it so many times because they're like these tiny guys that are doing these impressive things, doing the exact same things that these 6'8", 6'10 guys are doing, and it just looks incredible when you see it.
I've seen Miles Bridges throw down in-game dunks that would get him 50s.
Very true.
In a dunk contest.
That is very true.
I feel like he's just going to be a creative guy who just hates basketballs, and he's going to soar. I'm going to make a hot take. I don't think Miles Bridges will drop a point in this dunk contest.
Ooh, I like that. Yeah, I'm really hoping for some creativity.
Little known story about Miles Bridges, but his childhood enemy was a basketball rim.
Oh, you had me on the edge of my seat for a while.
Really sucked into
that. I was like, oh, yeah. God, is it Dennis Smith?
Yeah. He was bullied for years before
bullied by the rim.
Before the growth spurt, he was bullied for years, and he's bullied taking it out rim. Throughout no, he's his just career.
Oh, I hate you for the ride around the NBA. Gutty.
Oh, wow. That was beautiful. That ride.
Who do you think is going to win, Gutty?
I think John Collins is going to win. Because I think John Collins got that sneaky, I'm big, but I don't look big sort of shtick. Exactly the way you're saying, like Dennis Smith might have a chance. John Collins is like stupidly athletic, but when he does stuff, it's not like, oh, that's a big doing it. It doesn't look like it. So I'm going to just go John Collins.
Like, you know, like almost like how Dwight Howard looked when he just like this impossibly large human would do these like incredibly athletic things. He's like, what the hell?
So sorry, Hamidou Diallo.
No one votes for you.
No one votes for you.
Yeah. Then moving on to the three-point contest, we got defending champ Devin Booker.
Mm-hmm.
The Curry brothers. Bigger reaction, please.
Wow, what a surprise. They're in the three-point contest in Charlotte? No way.
They like shooting?
Yeah. What? Yeah.
Okay, can we take it down? Sorry. Danny Green, Joe Harris, Buddy Hield, Damian Lillard, Caris Middleton, Dirk Nowitzki.
Caris Middleton's an odd one for me.
And Kemba Walker.
He's a good shooter. But is he a great shooter?
Let's find out.
Yeah, I think he's I think he fits in very nicely in this group.
Yeah.
He's a really nice shooter and he spent the whole year just spotting up from a Giannis drive.
True.
That's Caris Middleton All-Star you're talking about.
Yeah. All right, Gutty.
37 on the year.
You can start us off. Who's going to win the three-point contest?
I think it's pretty obvious.
Seth Curry?
Yes. Mm. Good old Stephen. I think... Steph, if you know anything about him, when he plays in Charlotte, that man doesn't miss. That man plays so well in Charlotte. The amount of games he's had where he's just caught fire from three. I feel like that hometown vibe, he's going to be in rhythm. I mean, the one thing we do have to acknowledge about the three-point contest is it's kind of like whoever just like is in rhythm straight away tends to win. Yeah. It's not actually who the best shooter is.
Are you willing to put down the same lock that Harrison did and say that Steph Curry's not going to drop a point?
No.
Damn it. I was really hoping for that kind of confidence.
I will lock in Steph as the winner, though, and I'll lock it in comfortably.
Comfortably, Tom?
Yeah. I'm going to sit with Buddy Hield on this one. He has really impressed me this year, and he's got such a smooth stroke.
Once dubbed the next Steph Curry.
Yes, once upon a time.
Yes.
And just saying, he's playing really well this year. Maybe he's on his way.
No, he is. He's playing really well.
All right, I'm going to go Joe Harris.
Oh!
Joe Harris, the dark horse.
Yeah.
The other net.
The lumberjack.
I mean, not the other net, but...
The net.
A net.
Yeah, the lumberjack. I reckon Steph is going to be too casual. He's going to have too much fun with his brother. He's going to be messing about. And he's going to be a little bit shaky.
Going to be messing about, having heaps of fun.
I think Buddy Hield will...
Classic Steph.
Psych himself out. He's been playing so well that he's going to think he's going to win it, but then he's not. The bright lights are going to terrify him, and little Joe Harris is just going to ball out.
Okay. Oof. Now, there's two things I want to bring up.
I'm
with
excited.
This. First of all, Danny Green. That's so boring.
Is that not the most boring thing ever?
Yeah.
It's like, who's going to be excited when Danny Green is shooting?
And next up is Danny Green.
This is like that one.
That was supposed to be crickets, by the way.
Okay.
Oh, I thought that was like one excited child. Like just one.
It's one excited cricket.
Just squealing.
I was going to say his daughter, but.
And then the other contest within the contest is going to be to see whether Dirk can get through all the balls.
I really, really hope Dirk wins. I was telling you guys this before, but I'll tell it to the masses that Dirk was sitting there having a conversation with Adam Silver as if he could get 15 more seconds than everyone else just to get through the balls.
I don't even think Dirk's going to get to the last rack.
It's going to be a miracle if he doesn't injure himself on the way from rack three.
But he hasn't he does have a really slow shot, but there's not much jump in his shot, so it's not like he's going to exhaust himself.
That's not like by choice, though.
Yeah.
It's because he still tries to jump. he just
and no lift in the knees.
Oh, that's so sad.
Can we put him in everything in the skills challenge as well and just watch him struggle to run around a basketball court for a while? Just for an entire weekend, we just put it down to Dirk Nowitzki weekend and just watch him struggle.
Watching Dirk do the skills challenge would actually be like hilarious.
We'll put him up against like an 80-year-old man or something like that. Like the guy that has the 100-meter record for over 80 and see how fast
who
could win that race. There's a dude, they have like the race every year and they're like the over 80 senior of 100 meters. I think the record's like 30 seconds. Something like that.
30 seconds over 100.
Yeah.
That's bad.
when you're 80 years
old. Yeah, but you feel like there's got to be a more impressive 80-year-old somewhere.
I don't know, man.
Okay. On the skills challenge, we have Jason Tatum, Trae Young, Luka Doncic, Mike Conley, Kyle Kuzma, De'Aaron Fox, Nikola Jokic, and the really exciting 2019 All-Star, Nikola Vucevic. Who's going to win, Tom?
Not Kyle Kuzma, that's for sure. I don't know why he's even in this list. It just seems so out of place. But I'm going to put it down to Luka, just because he's a god amongst men.
I got to say Luka.
Yeah. See, or Nikola Jokic. I reckon they're going to be in the finals, but it's going to be like who can get there the slowest.
Man, I so disagree with you guys. I think the skills challenge, a lot of it has to do with your speed through the obstacles. Luka Doncic isn't quick enough.
No, not at all.
I'm thinking De'Aaron Fox.
Yeah, that's a very
De'Aaron
good point.
De'Aaron Fox actually. Has he's to hit a three though, fast. Doesn't he?
He's got a good jump shot this year, man. He's got a good jump shot. Yeah, he's certainly changed his ways.
Or Trae Young. On Trae Young, actually. Oh, God. This is a point I wanted to raise because there's been a lot of talk about how, I mean, earlier in the season he was having like a genuinely like historically bad shooting season and everyone was like, all right, Trae Young is not the player that we thought he was going to be. Over the last 10 games, Trae Young is averaging 21.8 points a game and 8.8 assists.
On how many shots, though? How many shots is he taking?
I mean, that is the real question. My piece of paper doesn't say that, so I resent you for bringing that up.
Yeah, he's a 6-foot rookie playing in a team with no one else. I think scoring 21.8.
My point is, exactly.
He's shooting 38.6 from three. That's not bad on 6.4. He's getting it done.
Yeah, so, like, ups to Trae. Yeah, I take De'Aaron Fox. I think the Fox is going to be way too quick through the little obstacles.
He's a freak. He's the fastest kid alive.
And I would like to see one of either Buddy Hield or De'Aaron Fox win a challenge, just because no Sacramento King made the All-Star game.
As if they were ever going to.
Really?
Yeah.
Sacramento's having a very good season.
They're having a good season, but it's not because
look
of
who
any
some
one
of
player.
The All-Stars are and tell me.
All right. Let's go through the list.
So let's go through the All-Star team.
What a smooth segue right there.
Ogun, don't come
so
back.
Proud of
we
you,
don't
know,
need
right?
you.
Yeah.
All right. So I was typing out the All-Star team. So
they never heard of copy and paste?
Just a little rundown for everyone at home. I was preparing little papers for everyone so we know like
so
what we're going to talk
well.
About.
So helpful. I haven't used the standings one yet, though. I feel bad about it.
And it made me realize how much better Team LeBron is.
Oh, so much better.
So much
it's
better.
Like, it's actually unfair. So I'll go through it. I'm going to try not to cough. Because I'm really struggling in this room.
Sit on the other side.
I haven't coughed the entire day. And there's something in this room that's just putting me off.
People.
I've been sick all week. So you got Team LeBron, LeBron James, captain, Kevin Durant, Kyrie Irving, Kawhi Leonard, James Harden. Those are the starters. It's a little bit good. then you got Anthony Davis, Klay Thompson, Damian Lillard, Ben Simmons via trade, LaMarcus Aldridge, Karl Anthony Towns, Bradley Beal, and then Dwayne Wade as the 13th retirement tour edition.
Love that.
Then you got Team Giannis with Steph, Joel Embiid, Paul George, Kemba Walker. Those are the starters. Then Chris Middleton, Jokic, Russell Westbrook via trade, Blake Griffin, D'Angelo Russell, Nikola Vucevic, Kyle Lowry, and Dirk Nowitzki. First impressions.
The one thing I'm really concerned is the defensive end for the starting five of the LeBron James team. I mean, who's going to guard any of these bigs through the middle?
Kawhi.
And then, like, who's going to care? Because, like, no one plays defense in this game anyway, so.
I think my first impression was, oh, LeBron picked everyone he wants to play with in LA.
Yeah, yeah, it was like the all-Tampa team.
Yeah, Durant, Irving, Leonard, Davis, Clay,
Ben.
And also they traded for Ben.
Bradley Beal.
How convenient.
I was just like looking at the bottom of that Team Giannis team, and you've got like Middleton, Jokic, Westbrook, Griffin, Russell, Vucevic, Lowry, Nowitzki. And it's just like you look at the like the reserves of LeBron's team, and they're just so much better.
So much better.
Did anyone else love that Giannis took Chris Middleton first, though?
Yeah.
Yeah. Like
that made me. That gave me this
brother.
Warm, fuzzy. I love that.
Yeah, yeah.
And then going three centers deep, that was just hilarious.
I like big people.
That like four of Griffin, Russell, Vucevic, and Lowry is just like so not what you'd expect to read on an All-Star roster.
Oh, no.
Yeah, and like Vucevic. Fair play, like Blake Griffin, it's been great. So is Russell, Lowry, Vucevic. They're just not like those all-star stars.
Will Vucevic go down as one of the most boring all-stars of all time?
I mean, Chris Bosh made a lot of all-star games. He was boring.
He was pretty boring.
But he was at least more interesting, like,
and
of
he had
personality.
Yeah.
Oh, far more talented.
Vucevic might go down as one of the most boring if we remember him in the, like, in the discussion. Like, he might not even be remembered when we're like, ah, he made an All-Star team.
Oh, shit. Yeah,
he had another monstrous game today, by the way, just because that's what he does.
Yeah. Finally played defense.
But it's also kind of funny that, like, LeBron's team, like, it's so West heavy. Like, you just look throughout. I guess, I mean, there's a couple East players in there, but it just feels kind of West heavy. Is Giannis? I don't know. I could just have been saying that. I don't know if there's any proof.
No, I do see what you're saying. Like, there are a lot of West players on.
It just kind of seems like he has the best players in the league on his team, and then Giannis has, like, a couple of the best players.
He just has his friends.
The rest.
Yeah, he just has his friends.
Maybe Giannis just wanted to play heaps, because no coach in the world is going to be like, oh, yeah, let's play Nick Vucevic, Nikola Jokic, and Joel Embiid at the one time.
To be fair, they might win because of that. Like, the fact that they have, like, size, a big just kind of cleaning up the board. Like, they might win in the most boring way that has
ever been
done.
Can they roll out an all-big lineup? That's the question. Giannis,
Joel, Jokic, Griffin,
Blake,
Vucevic.
And Vucevic. Oh, that would be beautiful.
Dirk could play.
Just roll out in the start of the second half with, like, Giannis playing the point and Vucevic at the two.
No, man, I'm putting Jokic at the point.
Jokic at the point.
And Giannis, like, being the roller.
That would be so much fun. See, I appreciate that.
They actually wouldn't, like LeBron's team wouldn't really have anyone to guard.
No. Well, you put Ben at the point.
You got Kat and LaMarcus.
Yeah, well, you put Ben at the point and you get James in the same one. Sure. You got Kevin Durant in there as well, and you got Towns and Davis.
So who's winning MVP?
Well. I think it's going to be Kemba Walker. I just say that. Ugh. At home in Charlotte, I reckon he's going to drop like 35.
Ugh. Boring.
It is.
And
boring,
I love Kemba, but, like, he doesn't excite me in this All-Star team. And he should, because I'm such a big Kemba fan. Mm. But I don't know.
I think, you know what? I hope Paul George wins it, because I don't think he's going to win any other awards this year, and he deserves it.
He probably should.
Mm. Yeah. Like, he's been playing MVP style game. He's leading the league in steals and defensive efficiency, I think. Or he's very high in net defensive rating, so he could be a shout for defensive player of the year, but he's not going to get it. He's improved majorly on last year, but they're not going to give him most improved. I reckon Paul George.
You know what's really, like, MVP. And I get it, I'm not a Russell Westbrook fan, so this might be where it's coming from, but I'm kind of salty at the way the Thunder's being covered at the moment, because it's like, Westbrook's got his 10th triple-double in a row. And it's like, that's not the story. That's not the story of the Thunder. The story of the Thunder is Paul George being, like, a legit MVP.
Well, they finally stepped it in the last game they played against the Blazers, I think it was. Yeah. Yeah, against the Blazers. They finally started the conversation. I was watching a YouTube clip. You know the guy that does all the YouTube highlights and stuff for the NBA? And he was like, Paul George finally cements his MVP discussion. I was like, he's been doing this for a while, guys.
And it's like, I get it. Russell Westbrook is kind of, like, in a weird way, made the triple-double thing his thing. So now anytime he does it, that's the story out of a game. But, like, Paul George is doing ridiculous things in Oklahoma City. Mm. So I back that. I kind of wouldn't mind if Paul George won MVP.
Oh, on that, though, and I will always argue with you over Russell Westbrook, because I am a fan. I think part of the story is that, like, he's putting up these triple-doubles, but really how he has actually deferred to Paul George.
At times.
At times, like, he still has the ability to shoot them out of a game, which he does so often.
Yep.
But, like, he really has deferred, and it's not like he's trying to put up those 40-point triple-doubles with 35 shots. Like, as much. Every now and again he gets happy, but him taking 15 shots a game and putting up a triple-double, all right, keep that streak alive.
Yeah, that's the game he should be playing.
Yeah.
He should have always been playing,
Yeah. All right, so now I'm going to ask, I haven't even prepared you for this, but I want to ask, what is one thing you would like to see out of the All-Star game? Like, either a play or a certain player doing a particular thing, maybe Joel Embiid and Russell Westbrook having a hug, because they don't like each other and they're going to have to play on the same team.
There will be an awkward moment between those two. I want to see Dirk Nowitzki dunk a basketball.
I was going to say that.
And there's the classic nostalgic one of Dwayne Wade throwing a perfect lob to LeBron, like trying to reenact that photo. That would be pretty cool.
Okay, so you're just going to take all of the cool things?
Yeah.
Harrison, pretty much just jump on that.
What would you like to see?
I would really like to see Ben Simmons hit a three.
Oh, that's a good one. And he's definitely going to try a couple for sure.
He shot one. I think he's going to make one in the All-Star game.
Yeah, I think he is. He's going to make his first one as well. It's going to be crazy.
I would like to see Nikola Vucevic go coast to coast, baby.
It's going to happen too.
And a little jelly layup.
He's going to be like,
he'll grab the rebound and be like, please care about me. It's like, I'm not going to give the ball. It's the only, like, this is my moment in the sun. Yeah.
You know, like, all the stars on the sideline with like two phones, like recording Nikola Vucevic go coast to coast.
And Shaq has a camcorder and you're like, where did you get that from?
I can't believe you guys aren't more excited to see his just pick and pop game.
If there's one thing I love about the All-Star game, it's just the constant pick and pops that just like roll out. And I'm like, this is why I watch basketball.
I really want to see him seal out. Like, just really seal out.
Just get the perfect box out. Like, just teach the kids. That's what the All-Star game's all about. It's to teach the kids about fundamental basketball.
Use the backboard.
Play good defense and use the backboard. Like, it's just, I think it's going to be a learning experience.
On that note, I think that it's time. It's time we say goodbye. This has been kind of like a short little one. We're going to be back, I think, on Monday to kind of recap All-Star weekend and talk about any of the fun stuff that happened and maybe do a little look ahead to the second half of the NBA season. As usual, if you did like the podcast, if you didn't like the podcast...
Shut your mouth.
No. You know, you can let us know. You can do it. We handle criticism quite well. We've actually just nominated ourselves... Some third party.
some third party
has just
out of the goodwill
us.
Of their own heart seems to have nominated us for an award. And
yes,
like to
for the Australian Podcast Something Awards.
And if you're out there, please at us your address so we can send flowers.
Yes, we definitely did not do that ourselves today. But in all seriousness, if you're listening to us on iTunes, leave us a review. If you interact with us on Twitter at Fox Basketball, tell us if you liked it, if you didn't like it, whatever. I don't care. We'll be back on Monday with Ted. He should be back. And then following that, Oaks should be back in the
when's
building.
When's Oaks back, you know?
I'm dying.
Please do it quietly.
I think on the 21st, I think.
Okay.
But I'm not entirely sure. That's been Lee Pass and Chill for another week. Thanks for listening. Bye.
Bye-bye.
Bye.